Welcome, everyone, to the Apocalypse Podcast. I'm Steve. He is...
Lawrence Van Beek.
Huh.
I feel like it's an episode of The Simpsons. We have to do something slightly different every time when we start.
I get it. No, that was good. That was good. He is Lawrence Van Beek, folks. He's the star of the show, by the way. I am the simple Jimmy. What am I? I'm the simple Mike Trout to your James Dobson, right?
Right. You're the simpleton? Is that what you said?
That's been said many times, actually.
Yeah. But you are, Stephen.
No. If you work in higher ed and you're not a faculty member, you qualify as simpleton.
Oh, gosh.
Yeah, true, right?
Oh, it's painful, yeah.
Anyway, before we get too far down the woes of having to work in a higher ed institution, hey, we're talking about Acts 4. And is Laird, do you want to give any preamble or you want to jump in?
No, remember last time we did Peter and John, we did the first four verses, but we'll just do them again. And it's Peter and John before the council. And remember, we said that from here, from chapter 3 to chapter 8, we have a series of events. We're going to have problems outside of the church. Hmm. And then problems inside of the church. They're going to solve the problem, and then there's going to be a paragraph of what happened when they solved the problem. So this, pardon me. So this is the problem that comes. This is the first one, and it comes from outside of the church.
Okay.
It's the council going after Peter and John.
Okay. Right on. Okay, so we're going to start at verse. Do you want me to start at 5 because we actually covered that a little bit before, or do you want me to just double back?
Let's go back and we can go back over the first four again.
Okay, cool. Yeah. So
for all of our new listeners, I didn't hear the last one.
Yes. For the Russian bots that are listening to our podcast. No, that's fine. Okay, so folks, I'll read through verses 1 through 4, and then we'll just kind of jump down paragraph by paragraph here. As they were speaking to the people, the priests and the captain of the temple and the Sadducees came upon them, greatly annoyed that they were teaching the people and proclaiming in Jesus the resurrection from the dead. And then they arrested them and put them in custody until the next day, for it was already evening. But many of those who heard the word believed, and the number of men that came to about 5,000. So lots of happening here. Hey, Larry, they speak and 5,000 people are just embracing the message just like that.
And 5,000 men. So for some reason, he chose to only count the men here, not the women and the children. And so, you know, you're talking 5,000, you might be talking 8,000, you might be talking 15,000, 20,000. I don't know. Yeah. I don't know the number. But, you know, the thing that we know is it's an awfully big number, right?
Right.
So Peter and John get arrested. So Peter just finished his second sermon, right? And again, he hit them hard again on Jesus came, you crucified him, and we're here as witnesses of that. And this time, the Sadducees are annoyed, and they are upset because they're not just preaching about Jesus, whom these guys killed. They're also preaching the resurrection, who the Sadducees don't believe in, right? And the Sadducees, the chief priest was always a Sadducee.
Oh, I didn't know. That's right. You mentioned that last time. That's right. Yep.
At this point in history, the Sadducees were actually, you know, if you look at them as parties, you'd say the Sadducees were the rich landowners. The Pharisees really had the ear of the people. The Sadducees had the ear of Rome at this point in history. That all changes after AD 70. But right now, they're the people to deal with. So they're the ones who arrest them. It's nighttime. It tells you a little bit about their court system, too. It's nighttime. Yeah, throw them in jail. We'll catch them in the morning.
Yep.
Yeah.
I'm tired. Let's go.
Yeah. It's almost supper time, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
Eva's got supper on here, and we got to get home. it sounds like, remember that song about Georgia, about the little sister and her gun?
I don't know. I don't know this song.
Oh, yeah, the sheriff claps the guy in the back and said, yeah, got to get home. There's supper on.
Oh.
Yeah. So that's what happened with these guys.
Yeah. Okay. Picking it up at verse 5, folks. On the next day, their rulers and elders and scribes gathered together in Jerusalem with Ananias the high priest and Caiaphas. Oh, Caiaphas, right?
Yeah, Annas and Caiaphas.
Caiaphas, thank you.
Yeah.
And John and Alexander, all who were of the high priest family, high priestly family. And when they had set them in the midst, they inquired, "By what power or by what name do you do this?" Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them.
Okay, let's just stop for a sec, Peter, yep. Steve. We better talk about these guys just for a minute here.
Yeah.
So Annas, now I've heard it different ways. Annas isn't really the high priest at this point in time.
Hmm.
Annas was the high priest earlier on, you know, before Jesus' ministry, Annas was the high priest. But Caiaphas is the high priest now.
Hmm.
Remember the musical Jesus Christ Superstar? It's yep. Caiaphas that they go to, right? And some say that they actually co-ruled this thing, right? And mm-hmm. others say, well, he's like the ex-president that you still call president all the time. And so I don't know how it works out. I know that he still had a lot of power.
Okay.
And Caiaphas was his son-in-law.
Oh, okay.
But they're all Sadducees, right? They're Sadducees, and I'm not sure if John and Alexander were Sadducees or not. High priestly family, they had to be Sadducees. So all four of these guys were. And so now we're back to where you were. Okay, go ahead.
No, that's good. That it was good to interject that too, because I mean you do see this and you're like, that's weird. Then Peter
filled with Annas, and I always thought it was Ananias as well for some reason. But he's with Sapphira in the next chapter. So
yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Unless this guy is everywhere, you know.
Yeah. Maybe it was a popular name. Oh, how many John Smiths do we have around here for crying out?
Oh, no. It makes me think of the Star Wars thing that was.
Spaceballs. You think it's Spaceballs?
I think it's Spaceballs, yeah.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Lest we get ourselves in trouble with a certain listener. Then, picking it up at verse 8, folks. Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, "Rulers of the people and elders, if we are being examined today concerning a good deed done to a crippled man, by what means this man has been healed, let it be known to all of you and all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, by him this man is standing before you well. This Jesus is the stone that was rejected by you, the builders, which has become the cornerstone. And there is a sorry, I had a tough day of reading today. Yeesh. And there is salvation in no one else. For there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved."
You got to admit, Peter is amazing here, isn't he?
Yeah.
Again, he is the head of the church at this point in time. You know,
right?
You know, first pope might be a little strong, but he's definitely leading this thing, and he goes into his third sermon with these guys, and he says, filled with the Holy Spirit, and look at the power that he has. Remember in Acts chapter 1, it says you will be filled with ability or power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you.
Right.
The Holy Spirit's come upon Peter, and where at Jesus' death he was cowering and refusing to acknowledge who Jesus mm-hmm. was or that he even knew him, now he's standing right up to these guys.
Right.
And he's saying, "Rulers and people of the people and elders, if we're examined here today concerning a good deed done to a crippled man, you know, and the means by which he was healed, let it be known that it was Jesus Christ who you crucified," and he says it, right? Yeah. "Whom God raised from the dead." And he just slams these guys. He tells them they crucified Jesus. Then he goes right against their theology. Like, you know, if it was me, I'd be kind of soft pedaling the
brethren. Yeah. You know, this guy that you may have heard of.
yeah. Now Paul does this later on, where he perceives, he's in the council and he perceives that there are a lot of Pharisees in the council, and he says, "Hey, I'm here because of the resurrection." And right away he has all the Pharisees are with him. Oh man, he believes in the resurrection.
Yeah.
We don't see anything wrong with this guy, right? And the Sadducees are frustrated like crazy. And that's exactly, I don't know if Peter's doing that here, because it sounds like there's mostly Sadducees in this group.
Right.
And he's hammering them with this resurrection stuff. And he says, it's because of Jesus that this man was healed. Yep. And then he goes back, I think, is this the Psalms he goes back to? The stone which was rejected by you, the builders, has become the chief cornerstone. If you look at the bottom there, it'll probably tell you that came from the Psalms.
Yeah. Well, I was even thinking, did not Jesus utter those same words?
Yeah. The head of the corner in the Greek. Oh, this doesn't tell you where it came from.
No.
Okay. I thought that it did when I was reading it earlier. But anyway.
Yeah.
Yeah. While I talk away, you're going to look that up for me, I'm sure.
Yes, I am.
And I'll keep talking. So, and yes, Jesus did. I think it was used earlier of Jesus as well. Yeah, Psalm 118 there.
Yeah.
Right, the stone. And some people, they play with this, and they say, some say it's the cornerstone, some say it's the capstone. But that's not the important thing. The important thing is, I think there was actually a story around that when they were building the temple, they lost one of the main cornerstones, and they didn't know where it was, and people were tripping over it, and that's where they get that tripping over the over the stone and stuff, right?
Yeah.
And so there was a bit of a story that came with that, but of course, what he's saying here is he's preaching to them that there's no other way to heaven except through Jesus Christ.
Yeah. Yeah.
And of course, that is the basic tenet of Christianity.
Yeah.
Is that there's no other way to heaven except through Jesus.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's the one that we get ourselves in trouble with. Well, we usually get ourselves in trouble because we're jerks, right?
Yeah. Well, that too. Yeah. That too. But no, you're right. When we claim exclusivity, that's the one thing that people bristle at the most.
But it's the one that we can't get away from, that we have to say. When I'm sitting with the Baha'is, you know, and they accept everything. Like they're very much, you know, all roads lead to heaven, and
right.
They're all just different names for God and, yeah. and all that. And I say, no, but we have to, like we believe in Jesus. And they go, oh yeah, yeah, that's fine. But it's not fine for us because we believe that there's only one way to heaven, and that's
yeah. So, and that verse 11 actually is, I did find that as well. It's also Matthew 21:42.
Same thing.
Yeah.
Ah. And was it Jesus himself who said?
And it was Jesus himself claiming it.
They said that Jesus said it. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Because we're scholars, we can't say Jesus himself said it. We have to say Matthew said that Jesus.
Matthew quoting Jesus.
Yeah, Matthew claimed that Jesus said this, yeah.
starting at verse 13 now, folks. Yeah. Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, which Larry emphasized there, and perceived that they were uneducated, common men, they were astonished. And they recognized that they had been with Jesus. But seeing the men...
Perfect, eh, Steve, for those of us in higher education,
yeah,
where, you know, it's like stone collecting, you know, if you have one more stone than the other person, then you're way better. One more degree, you know, one more level.
Yeah.
And the, that's what these guys are like.
Yeah.
You know, oh, look, they're just a bunch of uneducated fishermen.
Yeah. You
know, I can't believe they know stuff.
Yeah. What would they know?
Yeah. What could they know?
Yeah. Yeah. Seeing the man who was healed standing beside them, they had nothing to say in opposition. When they had commanded them to leave the council, they conferred with one another, saying, what shall we do with these men? For that a notable sign has been performed through them is evident to all the inhabitants of Jerusalem, and we cannot deny it. But in order that it may spread no further among the people, let us warn them to speak no more to anyone in this name. So they called them and charged them not to speak or teach at all in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John, again, this is a fun part of how bold they are. Whether it is right in the sight of God to listen to you rather than God, you must judge. For we cannot speak.
For we
cannot. It's just oddly worded, right? Sorry.
I know. Yeah. Oh no.
For we cannot but speak of what we have seen and heard. Basically, we can't help but speak of what we've seen and heard.
Yeah.
When they had further threatened them, they let them go, finding no way to punish them because of the people. For all were praising God for what had happened. For the man on whom this sign of healing was performed was more than 40 years old.
So that's an interesting thing, eh? That he'd been lame for 40 years, and I think he was lame from birth. Didn't it say that?
Yes.
He'd been lame for a long time. I thought he was lame from birth, so for 40 years. And yes. Oh, there it is.
Yeah, a man lame from birth.
A lame from birth, yeah. And so what they're saying is, I don't know what we're going to do here, because this is really obviously a miracle, right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah. If maybe we should kill that guy, and then we could get on with this thing.
I think if they had a chance, you know, it wouldn't have been beyond them to do that.
And well, did they not want to do that to Lazarus after Jesus healed him? Am I making that up?
I can't remember.
Anyway, that's fine. Sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt. Go ahead.
No, that's okay. Anyway, so again, incredible boldness in them. And they're saying, because the guy's right there, they're saying, look, I don't know what we can do with these guys. Now, you remember in the next chapter, they can't find anything wrong with them, so they beat them and let them go. but for Peter and John, they didn't do that. So at this point in time, you know, they're still getting by on the goodwill of the people, I think.
Yeah, yeah.
And they're standing boldly and proclaiming the very thing that you said so nicely. You know, well, you did that when you explained it after, you did it really nicely. I didn't say you read it nicely. I said, you know, you explained it nicely. That they stood there and said, look, what else are we going to do but speak for God?
Yeah.
And they actually, they shove it right in their face, don't they?
Yeah, well, and that's why I kind of laughed as we were going through that, because you think, man, this is Peter just going, yeah, you know, what else can we do other than say what we've seen and heard? So, yeah, forget you.
Yeah, do you want us to listen to you, or do you want us to tell the truth about what we saw and heard?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, pretty tough stuff.
Yeah. All right, picking it up at verse 23, folks. When they were released, they went to their friends and reported what the chief priests and the elders had said to them. When they heard it, they lifted their voices together to God and said, Sovereign Lord, who made the heaven and the earth and the sea and everything in them, through the mouth of our father David, your servant, said by the Holy Spirit, why the Gentiles rage, why the peoples plot in vain, the kings of the earth set themselves, and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and his anointed. For truly in the city, there were gathered together against your holy servant, Jesus, whom you anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate, along with the Gentiles and the people of Israel, to do whatever your hand and your plan had predestined to take place. And now, Lord, look upon their threats and grant to your servants to continue to speak your word with all boldness, while you stretch out your hand to heal, and signs and wonders are performed through your name of your holy servant, Jesus. And when they had prayed, the place in which they were gathered was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and continued to speak the word of God with boldness.
Yeah. Peter comes back and they worship God, right?
Yeah.
It's interesting that he throws in that, you know, you made everything in heaven and on earth and the sea and everything in them. And that's almost like Revelation, where he always talks about, you know, and the sea and all the stuff, right? So they're very inclusive in these kind of prayers.
Yeah.
But I don't know if they, I don't know why they care what's in the sea every time.
I guess it's, again, just trying to make sure that they cover all their bases of an exclusive God, I guess.
I think so. I haven't read anybody that really goes into, you know, into the cultural backgrounds of these things to pick out why they talk about the sea so much.
But yeah.
Nobody says much about it, right? They just say, yeah, it's lots of stuff there.
And really, fair enough.
It is, they do say to people, you know, up until we got our modern stuff, it was a big, scary, unknown place, right?
Yeah.
Anyway, and then they do another, they quote some more verses there, and they go, and then they start talking about Herod and Pontius Pilate, the Gentiles, and all of this stuff. And then he throws in all that you had, in some verses it says planned beforehand, and this one it says predestined. But again, they say, you know, we're totally responsible for our actions. And Peter says that in some places. In other places, he says, and God totally put every one of these pieces in place.
Yeah.
And so So sometimes when we're looking at our lives, we have to remember that God put every one of these pieces in place.
Right.
And and yet we're still responsible for our actions.
Yeah.
God made it happen. We're responsible about how we act in response to it, I guess.
Yeah.
Well, that's starting to make me feel guilty. I'm gonna move along quickly now.
Yeah. So verse 32.
Yeah. And anyway, and then the place is shaken. They're filled with the Holy Spirit, and the filling of the Holy Spirit is, in this case again, is to speak God's word.
Yeah.
Is to go out and witness for Christ with boldness. So this doesn't say they're speaking in tongues or other things like that. It just says that they're boldly speaking the word of God to people.
Yeah. I love how you've emphasized that each of the last two or maybe even three podcasts we've done here. Because I not so much in your denominational history, but in some of the denominations I've been involved in, they're so nervous about the Holy Spirit, which is so ridiculous to me in some ways, that they fail to kind of read this piece of it, right? This is always about bringing people to Christ. It's not showy for the sake of being showy. It's always to bring people to Christ. Like prophecy, tongues, signs, wonders, it's always to bring people back to the gospel.
In the book of Acts, it is.
Yeah.
Yeah. In other places, it can have different purposes, but here, very much so, bring people to Christ. I had a teacher once said, he said, we all believe in the Holy Spirit, different things about the Holy Spirit, and he seems to work through whatever belief we can muster. And that's not bad. It's not too bad.
No, that's not too bad at all, actually. That's not bad. Yeah.
He's the same one who said we're all functional atheists. But
yeah, I would agree with that, actually.
Yeah, that would be good, too.
Yeah. Yes. Until we need the Lord, and then we start yelling, "Oh yes, we're these wonderful people of prayer." Verse 32. Now the full number of those that who believed were of one heart and soul, and no one said that any of the things that belonged to him was his own, but they had everything in common. And with great power, the apostles were giving their testimony to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. There was not a needy person among them, for as many there were owners of lands or houses sold them, and brought the proceeds of what was sold, and laid it at the apostles' feet, and distributed to each as any had need. Thus Joseph, who was also called by the apostles Barnabas, which means son of encouragement, a Levite, a native of Cyprus, sold a field that belonged to him and brought the money and laid it at the apostles' feet.
Now, this portion, Steve, is actually preparing you for the next chapter.
Right.
Which is going to be the people that, which is Ananias and Sapphira and what they did with the land that they sold. However, Luke hits this a number of times as having, he hits a few things a number of times in this book. Hospitality he touches on quite a few times.
Right.
And he talks about baptism a few times, and then he talks about this having everything in common. Now, I'd like to stress that this was a very special time, not a special time in history. It was in that, Jesus died and rose again. This is the beginning of the church. But it was also, you're just past Pentecost now, and a lot of believers stayed in Jerusalem.
Right.
And they're having to deal with the issue of all these believers that have not gone home, that they've stayed around because of the coming of Christ and the Spirit, and they're having to look after each other. And this was a special time. I think they really thought Jesus was coming back in a matter, like they really thought it was soon.
Yeah.
Like this was at this point in time, they don't think this is they're very long for this world. So the sharing of their goods is something that they can do because they don't think it's all going to last very long.
Right.
The Pentecostals were that way, by the way.
Yeah.
I remember we went to Azusa Street, and one of my friends said, look at them. They own property right in the middle of Los Angeles, and they didn't have the foresight. They sold it, And I thought, of course they sold it. As far as they were concerned, Jesus was coming back any day. Like, what did land mean to them?
Right.
They weren't building a monolith and looking for 200 years down the road. They thought this whole thing was going to wrap up in the next decade.
Right.
And
right.
I think these guys lived that way too. You know, right. We use the expression living in the light of the second coming. And, you know, for us, we look at, you know, how are we going to get by? How are we going to retire? What are we doing for our kids? What are we doing for our kids' retirement? But they didn't think that way. They thought, Jesus is coming. What are we doing to win people to Christ right now? To a point where Paul, when he dealt with the Thessalonians, had to kind of straighten them out and say, you know, you guys need to go back to work. You need to get a job and start living like normal people so that you can have a testimony.
Right.
So there's, you know, there's two ends of that swing and pendulum there.
Yeah.
But they did. They had everything in common. And I guess for us, the thing that we should take out of this is that they looked after each other.
Yeah.
You know, and James says that later. Look after the widows and the orphans. And, you know, look after each other.
Yeah. And the same, Paul eventually does a large collection for the church, right? I mean, that's really, it's this church in Jerusalem that he's collecting for because they are so poor.
The Jerusalem church, for some reason, was quite poor. And maybe because of the strength of Judaism around them. So it was with the Philippians and the Colossians and stuff, he was taking up the collection. Good point.
Well, there it is.
We don't just give money to everybody. Like, we don't just give money, you know, pell-mell to everybody. But generosity is a part of Christianity.
Yeah.
And we'll stop now before we feel like we have to give anything away.
Oh, man, I have many jokes and I can't say any of them right now. there's open things in society I'd like to mock right now, but I can't.
Well, it's tougher. It's actually tougher for Canadians because we completely rely on the government to look after everybody.
Yeah.
You know, the Americans, at least, they have more control over their own finances and what happens with their money. Yeah. We just expect the government to look after everything.
But isn't it ironic because didn't a lot of that movement came out of the social gospel movement, right? Which came out of the efforts of the United Church of Canada, kind of pushing the government into these services too.
And it was the right thing to do.
Yep.
But Canadians, you know, Americans are vigilante. They're, you know, they're very much, you know, we hold the right. We have right to bear arms. We're like you know, we hire Trudeau, let him look after everybody.
Yeah, it's all good. Yeah. Carry on.
How's that working for you? You
know, we'll pummel them with Timbits.
If worse comes to worse, there's always Tim Hortons.
That's right. Hey, Valesky, would you like another double-double?
So anyway, the last line here is about Barnabas. This is the Barnabas, you know, later on.
Right. That Paul picks up.
Yeah. And he, that Paul has a fight with, right?
Right.
And that he sold his land and laid the money at the apostles' feet. And that's preparation for the internal struggle that's going to come.
Yeah. Interesting. Even Luke is doing a little bit of foreshadowing of the story, right? As he's written it out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. He does it nicely, actually.
Yeah. Well, folks, hey, there's Acts 4. An interesting look at, like Larry said, an interesting glimpse into what's happening both in the church, outside the church, and in that flip back and forth, right? And here we see people filled with the Holy Spirit, someone you would not expect to be bold if you'd read, you know, the last chapters of Matthew, Mark, and Luke, and yet Peter is there, you know, calling out the high priest. So fascinating stuff. Larry, thanks so much for doing that. That was awesome. Folks, we'll be back in a week's time with yet another podcast. We're going to do this again. What do you think, Larry? One more?
I think.
Oh, let's keep going. Yes. Let's go. Let's do. Next year, this will be our podcast on Fortnite. No, I'm just joking. Just joking. Anyway, thanks so much for joining us on this ride, folks. So appreciate that you come along with us, and we'll talk to you in a week's time. Have fun.